Stories. From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, staggering new developments in the Catholic Church crisis over the weekend. Boston's Cardinal Bernard Law flew on a secret trip to Rome, and a growing number of his parish priests are calling for the leading figure in the church's national scandal to step down. In this hour, Law and Disorder, a cardinal and a Catholic church on the brink. We begin with the latest developments on the Cardinal's unannounced trip to Rome. For facts and perspective, we turn to Monica Brady Meyerhoff, who's been covering the crisis in the Catholic Church for WBUR. I asked her what we now know about exactly why Cardinal Law went to Rome.
We still don't know. There's been no comment today from the Archdiocese of Boston. And, so no comment from anyone at the Vatican as well as to what he's doing there. But there are two obvious reasons why he would go. One is he would go to seek the Vatican's approval of bankruptcy, of filing for Chapter 11 for the Archdiocese of Boston.
Would that be big enough in itself to take the cardinal to the Vatican?
I think it would, because it requires more than a phone call or an email if they do that at the Vatican. He's got to go there and really make a case as for why he believes this is the best solution for the archdiocese.
And the second, of course,
is resignation. You know, that is also something that's been building over the past few days. And again, something that you wouldn't do over the telephone. You would go there and you would present your case and really discuss what's going on. And from news reports that I've read, it sounds like he's not quite sure which one he's going for either, that he might be going there to consider both, just asking for advice and guidance on both of these issues.
Monica, you followed this story so closely for so long. What is your sense? Are we at the breaking point? Are we on the brink of this cardinal's resignation? How close are we?
I can't get into his mind, but I've certainly gotten into the mind of many parishioners and lay Catholics and priests in the Boston Archdiocese, and they are on the brink. I mean, I've seen a decline in the past week of respect for the cardinal, of impatience for just feeling like it is time for him to go. And it's a vehemence and an anger and outrage that I really haven't heard in a while, because for the past couple months, things had died down. Mm-hmm. Cardinal Law started to meet with victims. He did some outreach to some lay Catholics.
It almost seemed he was over the hump. He was around the corner somehow.
It did. And then last week.
Describe that week for us and what came tumbling out that brought everything to such a boiling point.
So damaging. Nine more priests by the end of the week, documents, personnel files, private church files on them that the church kept. And they showed that allegedly one priest was trading drugs for sex. Another priest had fathered two children and was apparently present when their mother died of an overdose and didn't immediately call 911. And a third one who was sexually abusing young women studying to be nuns, in fact, luring them, encouraging them to become nuns, and then abusing them while they were studying to be nuns. This is all in the church files, again, showing that apparently church leaders knew about these accusations and did nothing, again, showing more deference to the priest and overlooking victims.
The sense, the renewed sense of betrayal, of outrage, seems all the greater because maybe Cardinal Law was turning a corner here, and these things still had not been disclosed. The sense that, my gosh, after all that, this was still in the closet, and who knows what else may be in there.
That's exactly it. And I think, in addition, what brought the outrage to a new level was that it wasn't just about priests and young boys, that this latest group batch of documents for priests went beyond that. It went to priests apparently abusing mentally ill women, young girls, and the priests acting delusional and having delusions of grandeur, thinking they were the second coming of Christ, that the church knew these things and overlooked them, and also the drugs connection. That it just took it the whole scandal down one more step to think, they overlooked this as well. This is just unbelievable to me, is what many Catholics were telling me this weekend. They were just feeling like they thought they'd heard the worst, and they learned that they hadn't.
And you used the word overlooked there, but in some sense it seems as though the church was almost making this possible by not taking more vigorous active steps to stop it, to get these men out of these positions permanently.
Right. In each case, it does show that the archdiocese apparently knew. Church officials, maybe not always cardinal law in every case, but high-up church officials had credible allegations and sometimes proof of these crimes, really, and overlooked it. Now, in addition, these documents also showed that many of these crimes and, picadillos of the priests went on until much more recently than was previously thought. For instance, Cardinal Law had said that when I came in 1993, I put in my sexual abuse policy and that was it. Well, in one of the priest's files of Father Frost, there's a letter. That Father Frost was proven allegations of sexual abuse of teenage boys. And in 1999, he's in the process of being defrocked, and Cardinal Law writes him a letter explaining that his ministry is over, but then saying that I wish I could find a place for you of some sort of ministry in the future, and that you would bring to it the wisdom of the past. This is 1999. This is well after his sexual abuse policy, and well after there were allegations, proven allegations of sexual abuse against Father Frost.
The wisdom of that past, maybe not so wise. How much of this whole great barge load of allegation and confirmed abuse that we've heard over the last year and more now, how much justly lies at the feet of Cardinal Law? What does he stand for in Boston and nationally as a Catholic figure overseeing a group of priests that were involved in this kind of activity?
Well, I think he's got to be the fall guy for it. I mean, like Kenneth Lay of Enron, really, he is ultimately responsible. And I've done, extensive interviews on who he is as a manager. And I've heard repeatedly he's a micromanager and he can control things quite, a bit of a control freak. But that said, how could he have overlooked all of this? And if he did, it's still his fault. It's his ministry. It's his Archdiocese of Boston. And if all of this was going on, he can try to push the blame as much as he wants to. But the fact of the matter is his signature is on so many of these letters, thanking priests for their years of ministry and good service and touching the lives of many Catholics when they have just been accused of and sometimes found guilty of horrible crimes against children and women and young girls.
Priests themselves are now circulating a petition calling for the cardinal's resignation. Where does that stand, Monica?
That stands at more than 50 signatures, and it's got a lot of backing so far as what I'm hearing. And it's an emotional letter. It just says that he's lost the spiritual leadership of the guidance of the Archdiocese of Boston. Now, the Boston Priest Forum, a different group of priests, this first letter was put together by an ad hoc group, but a more powerful group is meeting on Friday, the Boston Priest Forum. They will probably write their own letter and hope to get 100 to 150 signatures asking him to go. And this is the first concerted effort and public effort to tell him to resign. Because in the past, while they have at meetings expressed to Cardinal Law that maybe it's time he stepped down, they're going much, much further by publicly writing a letter asking him to resign. These are his employees, basically.
Saying, you've got to go. When you talk to parishioners in Boston, Monica, they must understand the problem is bigger, deeper than Cardinal Law himself. But what do they want? What do they hope for in his resignation?
They hope for a start. I mean, at a rally on Sunday, one of the women said, after Cardinal Law, we're coming down to New York and getting Cardinal Egan. So they really see this as they are fired up, and they see this as a beginning of what could topple many church leaders around this nation and maybe around the world. But they think it has to be done in order to restore credibility to their church. They still feel very strongly about Catholicism and their faith, and they want to bring a resolution to this.
If these cardinals should go, what's the next generation behind them? Is there a new generation of leadership that can be more effective, that has cleaner hands, that has a hope of restoring confidence, or do we have to go down 1, 2, 3, 4 layers?
We might have to go down 1, 2, 3, 4 layers from what I've seen from the church documents and who's involved in this. But down those layers, you get the priests who are calling for these reforms and changes, and some really dedicated reform-minded priests that I've spoken to who I would think would make great replacement leaders. But I do think it would just be a huge shifting of the cards for the Catholic Church in America.
Have you ever seen a church in the kind of tumult that this church is in right now?
Never, not in my lifetime. But I was reminded by a theologian today that it's everything that's happened has happened before, because in 2,000 years of the Catholic Church, they've seen everything. That's what he told me.
Monica Brady-Meyerhoff, thank you so much for your reporting and for joining us tonight.
You're welcome.
Monica Brady-Meyerhoff is a reporter with WBUR and is covering the crisis in the Catholic Church, a crisis that couldn't get any worse has for the Catholic Church. Now priests are casting stones at their own bishop. It is with a heavy heart that we write to request your resignation as Archbishop of Boston, begins a draft statement now circulating among Boston area priests, and many are signing. Over the weekend, angry, anguished protesters gathered by the hundreds outside a cathedral where Cardinal Bernard Law had been expected to celebrate Mass. This was the voice of Catholics in the snow on Sunday.
Law must go! Law must go! Law must go!
Tonight we're taking a hard look at what comes next for Cardinal Bernard Law and its implications for a Catholic Church in turmoil. We're diving into the heart of the crisis with some of the best and most outspoken church watchers around the country and with you. Is it time, is it past time for the Cardinal at the eye of the storm to go? Is it time for someone to take responsibility for all the horror? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me tonight is Eileen McNamara, columnist for the Boston Globe, the newspaper that has uncovered so much of this church scandal. Good evening and welcome, Eileen McNamara.
Good evening, Tom. Nice to be with you.
It's great to be with you, Eileen. We've been reading your column as you and others have followed this story for I guess, more than a year now. You pull no punches, Eileen. Is it time for this cardinal to go, and why?
Well, I think it is inevitable that he'll go. He'll go eventually, and he'll go sooner than later. But I think it would be a mistake to think that the Vatican sees this scandal with the same urgency we do in Boston. It was only last week, don't forget, even as we in Boston were reading these horrific files that were being released through court order about priests in Boston, that the Vatican was suggesting that the problem was homosexuality in the priesthood. To be at this late date taking such a narrow view of what's wrong here tells us that it may take a little while for Bernard Law to be returned to another job in the Vatican.
So you're feeling that for all the fury in the streets and parishes of Boston this week and reflected widely around the country, it may still not be making it over the Vatican gates?
Well, I think that this is the fundamental issue with the church. The power in the church rests with the hierarchy. It rests in Rome. It doesn't rest with the people in the street or the people in the pews. And the real revolution that is happening in America is that the people are trying to take back their church. You don't accomplish a revolution overnight.
Well, it's hardly been overnight now, but I guess in the sweep of the church's history, it's still a short time.
In the sweep of the church's history, I think it really is overnight. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately the people will win. These leaders have so damaged themselves by the gross negligence that they have displayed in the scandal that they have no credibility. The fact that the cardinal is seeking bankruptcy in Rome, permission for the Archdiocese of Boston, which owns millions and millions of dollars of real estate. It's a metaphor for what's happening in the Catholic Church.
And bankruptcy because that would shield it from further facts of all these kind of stories coming to light. Eileen McNamara, if you could sit in the Vatican tonight, and if you had the ear of the ultimate power broker there, and I'm not sure who that is today, I guess, frankly, but what would you say? How would you make the case that Cardinal Bernard Law should go?
I would say to the pontiff that it is time for this institution, which he and all Catholics love. It's a medieval institution, and it is time for it to come into the modern world. It has to hear the people. In America, this was an immigrant church, and when we were all immigrant supplicants before the church, we agreed to blind obedience. Only a generation or two ago, my own education in Catholic school, obedience was prized above everything. Mm-hmm. But in America today, Catholics are educated. They're middle class, upper middle class, professional people. They're accustomed to challenging their political leaders, their supervisors at work. They are not going to blindly accept the leadership of a man who no longer has any moral authority. That's
so,
what I would say.
So you see it as a kind of disrespect to that evolution in the understanding of Catholics around the U.S.
I think it's a lack of understanding that the laity are not as passive as they once were. The people in the pews who are enraged by Cardinal Law's behavior are some of the most devout Catholics in America. These are the ladies who run the CCD classes and teach children to prepare for First Communion and Confirmation, who play the organ, who sing in the choir. These aren't bomb throwers. These are people who love the church. They just want the church to be the Church of Jesus Christ, not the Church of Bernard Law.
Eileen McNamara, stand by. We want to talk a lot more about this tonight. We're glad to have you with us. We're talking about the end of the road, maybe, for a cardinal. What do you think? Is it time? Is it past time for Cardinal Bernard Law to go? Can the crisis of the Catholic Church in America be resolved without someone taking responsibility? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
This is WBUR.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about maybe the end of the road for a prince of the church at the center of a national crisis over sexual abuse by priests. This weekend, protesters gathered outside the Cathedral of the Holy Cross, where Boston's Cardinal Bernard Law regularly celebrates Mass. Among the protesters was a woman who says she was sexually abused by a priest as a child.
This church is bankrupt, morally. This church is imploding morally. It is crumbling from within because of the actions of its leaders from the Vatican on down.
Yes. Only this weekend, as protests grew in Boston, and they echo protests that we have heard around the country over the last year, is it time, is it past time for Cardinal Bernard Law to step down? Is there a reason this cardinal should stay? And might this just be the first cardinal to fall around the country? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I've been talking with Eileen McNamara, a columnist for the Boston Globe, a newspaper that has brought an awful lot of this national scandal to light this year. I'm joined now by Father Robert Carr. He joins us from Boston. He's parochial vicar in the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston. Good evening and welcome, Father Robert Carr.
Good evening.
Father Carr, you are the parochial vicar in the cathedral where Cardinal Bernard Law often steps before the parishioners to give his message. You have in the past been a supporter of the cardinal. A number of priests, more than 50 we're told now, have signed a document asking the cardinal to step down. Where are you standing tonight? Are you still standing by the bishop?
You have to understand where my position has always been. And my position has always been saying that if we just remove the cardinal, are we going to solve the problem? And the answer I have said consistently is no. We have to understand what the problem is. And the problem is deeper than just the cardinal. So the question is, what is it? And I think it's an issue of vision. It's an issue of vision that is not touching, that needs to be understood to the people. Let me give an example. You talked about the protesters. First of all, the protesters are there every single Sunday. And the parishioners who attend Mass have to walk by those protesters every single Sunday. So these people in their faith are choosing to walk by those protesters despite the fact even some of them are yelled at and stuff like that.
Do you think it's mutually exclusive? Do you think walking by means they don't support the protesters, Father Carr?
Well, let me get back to the vision issue. Everyone in that church is really concerned about the victims, and everyone in that church really is greatly saddened by what has happened. But the question is, what led to this in the first place? And I think one of the things you're going to find here, as I have felt for quite some time, is an intense vision problem. Look at I think it was in the Herald or the Globe, the picture of all the protesters. You have 300 protesters. We were going to say we heard up to 2,000. Everyone are white, middle-class Catholics. So now the question is, you have every one of those from that community. What is that saying about our failure as a church to touch this community?
I'm not sure I follow that. Are you saying that only white, middle-class Catholics are in an uproar over sexual abuse by priests?
Only white middle-class Catholics are taking this response as opposed to all the other communities. Remember, we're a multinational community.
Are you saying that white middle-class Catholics are making a mistake? They should hunker down in the pew and wait for guidance?
Did I say that?
No, I'm just trying to figure out exactly what you are saying.
Okay, first of all, you make an interesting point. Wait for guidance. You know, one of the things that really bothers me that I hear from the media is the Catholics are told to pray, and obey. That's not true. At their baptism, they're told to hear the word of God and preach it. The lay people are called to be involved. They're called to be alive in the faith, but they're also called to have the vision. And I think it is the lay people that need to say, what is the vision of what Christ called for? And the problem I have is I see this vision in other communities, but I think the lay people in the white community are looking for this vision and they don't know how to get it. I work with the Spanish community mostly, and they have this vision. They have this vision of understanding what it means to be a person of faith. And I keep saying over and over again, if you want to see the future of the church, you go to that community. You go to those communities.
This is utterly fascinating to me.
Are
you saying that Hispanic Catholics are still more in the supplicant mode that Eileen McNamara was describing as having historically been the case in the United States, or that they're less critical of the leadership of the Catholic Church that led the church into the crisis it's in now?
The things that the has been said about the Hispanic Catholics have been horrendous, right down to the fact that they're uneducated and they're ignorant. The Hispanic Catholics come from a background where there's one priest for every 50,000 people, so it by necessity has been lay-driven. And because of that, it has a powerful back that says, look, we want a strong community. And by the way, our priest is part of that, but you know what? We're going to work together to build a strong community. This whole idea that the Spanish Catholics are these obedient, you do whatever the priest says, is absolutely wrong. It's completely out to line.
And yet it's you pointing out that it's white Catholics standing in the snow shouting this weekend at the cathedral where Cardinal Law often preaches.
And the reason why I say that is because what the bottom line is I think we haven't, as a church, touched that group. And the problem is, again, vision. So let me explain this. You have, as I was saying earlier, you have an issue which I think really goes back 500 years, works in faith. You know, we hear people saying they do good works. We hear priests saying they do good works. And the people are saying, you know what, you may have done good works, but you didn't live the faith. And that's what you see coming out of that community, and they're saying, we want priests who live the faith.
Can Cardinal Law offer the vision required by the Catholic Church now?
This is the question.
I mean, if he can't, he should go, shouldn't he?
I'm not so sure. Here's the reason why I'm saying it. I'm not going to say one way or the other. The question is, what is needed for that community to build that vision? Because it's got to come out of that community. It can't you can't turn around and say, the cardinal say, this is the vision. The community has got to say, this is what I want. I want a priest so holy, so alive in the faith that he sets me on fire. That's what we need in that community, and that's what they haven't had. And the classic example of this is when you see some priests are like that, but when you see these absolute horror stories, the question, and I keep asking, I've asked it of the press, I've asked it of the cardinal, what vision of church put those people there? Because that vision of church didn't belong there.
Eileen McNamara, join us here. There's a lot being communicated to us by Father Carr. How are you responding?
Well, I'm baffled, frankly. I mean, the idea that the laity is out here just wishing for holier priests, I think, is a fiction. The problem is not whether they believe their priests in general have been holy enough. The laity has been excluded from the decision-making powers in the church institutionally. Had lay people, women, the whole gamut of the church been involved in the running of the church, it's impossible for me to believe that the kinds of decisions that were being made in the chancery would have been made. But the small, narrow group of men who made those decisions made them because of a culture of secrecy and a culture of exclusion. And that is what people are protesting, and that is what people are saying has to change.
And the distinction that Father Carr is noting between white parishes and Catholics and, for example, Hispanics?
Well, the people that he's talking about who are these, you know, white middle-class people who standing in the snow that he's talking about, those people grew up in the triple deckers in Dorchester that the Hispanic congregants live in now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who does he think these people are? I mean, we're all part of the same Archdiocese of Boston.
Can I say
Father
something?
Carr, please.
Eileen hit something very clear. Part of this problem, what I'm saying is that the lay people are called to move this vision, and she is right about that culture of secrecy as far as this group of men in the chancery were driving this, and we're learning this in the different newspapers and stuff and in the media. But also what is needed is for that vision to be set afire in the lay people. One example I give, people say they want to more lay people involved, and I say, great, okay, then we need lay people involved. Let's first of all start with everything that is involved in this. Let's get this vision going. But there were times you want lay people involved and you can't even get a chaperone for a dance.
I'm not following Father Robert Carr. You're talking about a vision, and yet the facts seem so damning in and of themselves that some basic house cleaning, it would be easy to come to the conclusion, is in order here, and it's not about chaperoning a dance, is it? Though now that may be pretty important, but it's about establishing or reestablishing a level of trust between members of the church and the leaders of the church.
You're right, and I'm saying this goes deeper than just changing cardinals. This is what I'm saying. You just can't turn around and change, have the cardinal leave, have a new guy come in. You know, when I ask this question, people say the cardinal should leave, and I say, then what? The next response I get is maybe the next man will be better, and I say we can't deal with maybes.
Well,
we
that's
have
why,
to know.
Eileen McNamara.
Well, that's why we should bring back Bishop Darcy, who Cardinal Law ran out of town after Bishop Darcy challenged him for sending Father Gagin back into ministry where he was free to prey on young children. Bishop Darcy, as far as the record shows, is the only one that ever stood up to the cardinal and said, you shouldn't do this.
And
the next thing we know, he's transferred to Indiana. Why don't we bring him back and let him be the Cardinal Archbishop of Boston?
Eileen, you're absolutely right on the money. I mean, that's where we start. And you're starting by saying, look, we want, you're not starting by saying maybe. You're saying, look, this is who we want. We want someone who's going to drive us a vision. And that's where we begin.
Well, she's saying she doesn't think it should be Cardinal Bernard Law. Eileen McNamara, Father Robert Carr, please stand by. We're joined now by Scott Appleby from South Bend, Indiana. He's professor of history and director of the Kushwa Center for the Study of American Catholicism at the University of Notre Dame. Good evening and welcome, Scott Appleby.
Good evening. I'm actually a former director of the Kushwa Center. Tim Matavina is now, but I'm glad to join the conversation. I've been listening, and I have to say, while I understand Father Carr's situation being very difficult, I think he's making the situation worse. Let me say a few things.
Please.
First of all, the Hispanic community will be among those most hurt by the way this is being managed.
How so? Why?
Well, when the services, pastoral and other kind of services, are crippled because the archdiocese will either go into bankruptcy or be facing massive lawsuits, the entire archdiocese is going to be hurt, including the Hispanics. That's the first point.
Mm-hmm.
The second point, it seems to me, frankly, a bizarre statement to blame the laity in any way. Eileen McNamara a minute ago was quite eloquent. The people who are protesting are not indifferent they're the people who are running the CCD. They're the people who are the backbone of the church. And it's not about chaperoning dances. It's about sharing authority because the hierarchy has demonstrated that on certain matters, they're not to be trusted in sharing authority. The other point is that Father Carr said removing Cardinal Law will not solve the problem, mm-hmm. and that may be true, but the problem will not begin to be solved while Cardinal Law is still Archbishop of Boston.
Why not, Scott Appleby?
Because he is completely without credibility at this point. He has. They need fresh leadership to come in, address the situation, and the most damning thing, at least from my point of view, is that the Vatican, up to this point, the Vatican's insistence and Cardinal Law's insistence on staying in office after it's become manifest that he really should resign, mm-hmm. replicates the error at the heart of this crisis, mm-hmm. namely clergy protecting clergy, even when they have failed to do their apostolic duty. And so you're replaying the problem in the minds of laity and others who see a protection racket going on, circling the wagons, in any other kind of organization. I'm not saying Cardinal Law should be humiliated or demoted, but he has to be removed from this situation in terms of providing leadership.
Scott,
he is too engrossed with the problems now.
You are one of the most respected academic students of the Catholic Church in America. If Cardinal Law does go, and perhaps that's what will come out of the Vatican over the next week, who knows? If he does go, do you expect to see a ripple effect across the country? Are there other very high-placed Catholic leaders who are likely to resign in his wake if he goes?
I know that is a concern. I would suppose that is a concern of the Vatican and of the leaders of the church. But frankly, I don't think that's justification for keeping Cardinal Law on. And secondly, I'm not sure that we can conflate all the cases around the country with mm-hmm. Boston. I'm not in any way minimizing the other cases because there have been serious acts of malfeasance, lack of leadership, all through the gamut around the country.
Mm-hmm.
But Boston is the epicenter. The eyes of the nation and the world are on this. And for the church to insist that it has a deaf ear toward the whole range of Catholics who, in good faith, they have a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Father Carr says they need a vision. Eileen McNamara put it very eloquently.
Pretty much laying it out.
The Church
mm-hmm.
of Jesus Christ, led by Jesus Christ and the gospel, not sacrificing the services and the pastoral work of the church for one man.
Is there a precedent for a Catholic prelate of Cardinal Law's stature essentially being kicked out?
Oh, there have always been, on the one hand, removals of members of the hierarchy, often done, never done, as far as I know, in the United States, in the kind of media spotlight and glare that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons, I think, that it hasn't been done. because there's a kind of a stiff spine on the part of the church leadership. We will not capitulate to the media. I can understand that to some degree, but even the media and the Catholic faithful may be right in this instance. But there's never been the kind of national and international spotlight, but there have been, of course, historically, occasions when a bishop has been moved or not promoted because he was not in favor with the Vatican.
Robert Carr, you hear Scott Appleby saying that the vision is there and there's really not room in it for Cardinal Bernard Law, that he is now part of the problem, not the solution. Your response?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that obviously Scott didn't hear exactly what I said. I'm not blaming the laity. The laity are saying we want a vision. My concern is when I hear this vision, I say, you know what? It sounds like exactly the same vision that led us into trouble. That's our problem.
What
and
vision
that's
would that
my,
be?
My deep concern. It's
what vision would that be? Was it a lay vision that led the church into this problem? We thought it was priests raping boys and girls.
The issue is not who has the vision. The issue is the vision itself. First of all, I see a vision that is more works-oriented than faith-oriented. I see the people screaming for, we want deeper faith, and I see everyone saying, but let us do better works. And that's not what it means to be
a
Catholic right away.
You have to know that people's faith has been shaken tremendously.
Of course it has.
By the sight of a Cardinal Archbishop of Boston, the most powerful prelate in the country, dissembling in the face of this crisis. That shakes everyone's faith. Not because anyone thinks that Cardinal Law is without sin, but because the church would continue to have in that central position a man who, by his own acknowledgement, has misguided the church and behaved below the standards that we ought to hold our leaders to. And so if you're worried about faith, I think people's faith is shaken.
Of course
it's shaken. Has been shaken and will continue to be shaken if the Vatican doesn't say, and Cardinal Law himself doesn't say, I love the church so much, I'm going to demonstrate it by welcoming my successor in here and cooperating in every way possible so that he can succeed in restoring trust in the Archdiocese of Boston.
And Scott, I don't disagree with anything you say. What I'm saying is that's not deep enough.
Father Carr, you're saying then that Cardinal Law should go, but that won't be enough.
I'm saying if Cardinal Law goes, it's not going to be enough. My concern, this has been a concern, it's even been mentioned in the Globe and the Herald, that 10 years down the line, this whole thing can come back. What I'm saying is we're not going to paint over rust. You're right when you say there are things that have to change, but what I'm saying is your changes that you are citing are not deep enough. And if they're not deep enough, you're not going to fix the problem.
Father Robert Carr, I know we have to let you go, but thank you so much for joining us tonight. Father Robert Carr is parochial vicar at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston, where Cardinal Bernard Law preaches. Scott Appleby, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
Scott Appleby spoke to us from the University of Notre Dame. Listeners, you can join us as well. Eileen McNamara is staying with us. We're talking about the end of the road, quite possibly, for a cardinal, the most powerful Catholic in America. Is it time, is it past time for Cardinal Bernard Law to go? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about the end of the road for a cardinal, quite possibly a prince of the Catholic Church, up against outraged cries to go. My guest this hour is Eileen McNamara, columnist for the Boston Globe. You can join us as well. Is it time for the Catholic Church to clean house coast to coast globally? Is the Vatican afraid of a domino effect, that if one prince of the Church falls, others will follow? And how much of the problem will sacking cardinals solve? Are you at the breaking point with the Church? Is Cardinal Law at that point? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Bill is on the line. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Good to have you.
We wouldn't have Ken Lay clean up Enron, nor would we have Dick Nixon take care of Watergate. Bernie's a liar. He has to go. But more importantly, one of my concerns is who's going to name the successor. Opus Dei, which is a right-wing faction of the Catholic Church, runs that group, if you will, in the Vatican of naming bishops, archbishops. And they would be the ones to name the next archbishop or cardinal.
And you're concerned that after all this, it wouldn't be better?
We, we might get another one. That's one of my concerns. That's why the power literally has to go back to the people. It literally has to come from the pews.
Bill, stand by. I want to put that to Eileen McNamara. Eileen, do you feel confident that on the other side of Cardinal Bernard Law, Catholic community in the Boston area at least would have better leadership? Bill's concerned it could be the same or worse.
I think Bill makes a very good point. I mean, what's happened in Boston has not changed the hierarchical structure of the Catholic Church, and he's right. Opus Dei does exert an enormous amount of influence in the Vatican. Cardinal Law was the preeminent archbishop in the United States because he towed so closely to this pontiff's conservative theology.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can expect to find a replacement who is equally conservative theologically and institutionally, who believes in the hierarchical structure of the church.
But
that is a problem.
Does that necessarily equate to protecting priests
no.
even when they get away?
No, no, of course it doesn't. But what it does equate to is an unwillingness to open up the windows, to allow other voices into the conversation,
mm-hmm.
to be willing to broaden the base of discussion. And that's critical if anything's really going to change.
But we hear the doubt that it would happen necessarily with a successor. Bill, thank you very much for your call. I want to welcome into our conversation Father Robert Bowers. He's a pastor at St. Catherine's in Charlestown, Massachusetts, part of the diocese overseen by Cardinal Bernard Law. He signed the priest petition calling for Cardinal Law to step down. Good evening and welcome, Father Robert Bowers.
Good evening, Tom.
Thanks for being with us. You signed the petition. Was it hard to do? Why did you do it? Now that your signature's there, are you glad it's there?
Well, the process of signing that document, the letter to the Cardinal, was a deeply soul-searching experience for me and for my colleagues,
mm-hmm.
and didn't come lightly. I don't know. I'm glad I did it, as I feel my integrity is restored in doing so. I do believe this cardinal, has compromised the mission of the church at this point by his continued presence as Archbishop here. And so, for myself and for my parishioners and for many folks, my own family, I have made this decision and do so with a heavy heart, but also once again in solidarity with the victim survivors we are all seeing. And just as a Catholic who needs to see my church healed.
Father Bowers, you know how powerful Cardinal Law has been for a long time, and we were just discussing how his successor may not necessarily be more liberal than Cardinal Law. Are you concerned that you've put your own life in the church in some jeopardy by signing this letter calling for the Cardinal to step down?
My life in the church is secure as a believer in Jesus Christ and as a person who's happy to be a Catholic and loves my church. My role as a pastor is one that I love and cherish and enjoy. I don't see any danger, if that's what you mean. But I think that we can sometimes be too limited in wondering if a successor would be different from Cardinal Law. There are some wonderful bishops, as there are many wonderful priests and
mm-hmm.
wonderful lay folks in the area, in the country, and available. I think we can be open to maybe what God wants us to do. But at the same time, I think there's been such a change in priesthood and in lay empowerment that perhaps we are seeing the advent of something quite new in the church and how that successor deals with Boston rather than how that person will deal as an ordinary.
You heard Scott Appleby and Eileen McNamara both saying that what's required here is a transfer of power
right.
to lay Catholics. If that is to happen, on the other side, perhaps, of the resignation mm-hmm. by Cardinal Law, will that be the fruit of a lot more revolution than we've already seen?
I don't know if it's words like revolution or transfer of power, if that applies to a church and to our community of faith. I agree with both Eileen and Scott wholeheartedly that an awakening of Catholics who've been maybe dormant too long, all of us have been perhaps, and maybe asleep at the switch when we should have been more vigilant, has already occurred. But now it's time to challenge each other to use our intellect and use our faith and become well-informed and to become people who are actively engaged in this church, not passive observers any longer, but actively engaged in this church so that we never allow this to happen again. So it's an awakening more than it is a transfer of power.
This, from a priest who, along with 50-some others, is saying to his archbishop, to Cardinal Bernard Law, it's time to go. Mark is calling from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Evening.
The whole problem can be solved simply by going back to the Bible. Jesus told us, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, meaning people he ever raised his voice to were the hypocrites who weighed the people down with burdens that they themselves wouldn't bear, and the only people he raised his hand to were the money changers in the temple. And what are we looking at right now?
So you're saying when a criminal line is crossed, let's just get the case out to the police, to the civil authorities, and have it dealt with there, and never mind it rotting inside the church.
That's right. It's rotting the church from the inside. I heard Father Karras talk about a vision. I go to Mass regularly, and over the years, I've seen many priests with that vision and that fire that he talked about. And you know something? They're all Lutheran ministers or Episcopal priests, or they're off married someplace right now, and the church is telling us.
Ouch.
You can be a homosexual and be a priest. You can be a pedophile and be a priest, but you can't be a practicing heterosexual and be a priest. And you can't be a female of any persuasion and be a priest. And Jesus told Mary in the story about Martha and Mary, when Mary was discoursing with the men, that she had chosen the better part. And to me, that says women ought to be allowed to be priests because they can choose the better part.
Mark, thank you for your call. Eileen McNamara, how about it? Our caller says, let's just get these problems out to the civil authorities and let it be taken care of there. But it's been that march from the secret sacristy out to the civil authorities, which has been a very difficult one for the church to pull off.
Well, I think in Boston that has an awful lot to do with the culture of the city and the dominance of the church here. The clergy, until this year, until this scandal broke, were not mandatory reporters in cases of child abuse. They weren't required to tell the civil authorities. Now, that's an obvious omission. You have school teachers, you have nurses, you have doctors.
You're saying civil law itself did not require priests
but
to...
But the reason that the civil law in Massachusetts didn't require priests to report them, that was for the last 15 years, the Archdiocese of Boston has lobbied to kill the bill that every year for the last 15 years was on the Massachusetts legislature's calendar that would have brought this forward. And it happened this year, finally.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully one of the outgrowths of this horrible, horrible tragedy is that we do understand that there is canon law and it has its place, but there is civil law. And in every jurisdiction in the United States of America, civil law trumps canon law.
Jim's calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I agree that he should be ousted. He does not belong there, and he's weakening the church. And I think that it should domino through the rest of the church and remove anyone who has done something illegal or supported people who have done things that are illegal. But I agree with Father Card that we need a new vision in the church. I have a 15-year-old daughter who's in confirmation who probably won't continue to be a Catholic because there's no fire and there's no vision and there's nothing to keep her there.
Is she telling you that, Jim?
She's telling me that, yeah. And there are many of her friends who go to church because their parents force them to go, and then when they become adults, they leave.
And has this scandal of the last year figured into your daughter's perspective?
Not in the least. She doesn't know anything about that.
Hmm.
I mean, to her, the problem is that there's nothing there for the youth, and there's nothing there for young adults. Too many Catholic parishes, I've been to 15 of them because I'm moving, and they're all old people. They're not young people with young families growing up. The church is dying because we don't have anything for, we don't have any fire, we don't have any vision, we're not about faith anymore.
Eileen McNamara, is that part and parcel of what we're talking about tonight, or does that get into different subject, different territory?
I think it does, in a way, get into a different territory. I mean, I think you could find an awful lot of young Catholics who find in their particular parish that priest who does excite them, who does, his sermons do speak to them. You'll find very active parishes that have a lot of youth activity that do community service work, that do missionary work to get children, young people, to understand that part of being a Catholic is social justice. Are they few and far between? I don't really think so. I think there's a lot of them out there. You run into a parish where it isn't energized, and you may feel that the entire church is dying.
You can't help wonder if the skepticism engendered by this scandal may not figure in, at least to some degree. Jim, thank you for your call. Michael's on the line. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got two quick points.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear to me that the bankruptcy scam was planned at the first Rome meeting.
This is the Boston Diocese apparent plan to declare bankruptcy, yeah, to get out from under some of the financial claims on them and the disclosure claims on them.
Yeah, that's definitely coming from Rome. And also that you got me lost here. That law wasn't replaced then so we could take the blame for the scam. And that when the dirty work is done, that's when you'll see law step down.
So you're saying he's just staying long enough to kind of take the hits.
The heat, and then once the heat's all off, then you'll see someone else step in. But it's pretty clear to me that this is coming from Rome. This isn't coming from law.
Michael, thank you for your call.
Also, I got one more, one quick one.
Sure.
Also, as far as the Hispanic believers, you got to look for where they're coming from. They're coming from repressive countries with repressive governments and a repressive culture.
And you're not looking to them to step up and take the lead in more lay power.
For a couple of generations in this country, and they come from the yoke of that culture.
We've got it, Michael. Thanks for your call. Father Robert Bowers, what about this issue? Do you think that, I guess, on the other side of Cardinal Law, might we see the White Knight come in? Can you imagine that he's sticking around to take the heat and clear the way for a successor who will have, you know, a clean slate?
No, I don't believe that. I think that the Cardinal believes he has some sort of a mandate to be here, whether that's divinely ordained or ordered from above. But I know myself, if I'm in a position where I can't fulfill my mission any longer, and I find myself in a lack of credibility where this cardinal is, I would simply step aside. So it's ultimately his choice and his own personal conscience. But I think that he is a believer, a true believer in the system, and he's been formed in that fashion. And I think he's going to endure it as long as he can. I'm praying that he sees a different way.
Do you think it will make a difference to Cardinal Law when priests in his own diocese are saying, please go?
I do, and I think that there's another voice of credibility in my colleagues who have done so, and I think that also has an effect on the Vatican. We are people who are extensions of our bishop doing the work day to day. We are facing people and their issues moment by moment, and so we have a credibility because we're still here and because we're doing this work and we're doing the mission of Christ. To compromise the mission of the church at this point because of leadership is dangerous and damaging to people, and I'm watching that happen in my own parish. And so I think there is a strong voice to be spoken now by the priests who have signed the letter.
And Eileen McNamara, we just have 20 seconds, but is this that dark hour before the dawn here?
I think it is. I think it is. And whether the dark hour lasts longer than we want it to or not is not for any of us to say. It may last longer than we want it to, but the church can only emerge stronger, and the city can only emerge stronger. And it's just been a very, very sad, painful process. But when it emerges, Cardinal Law will not be there.
Eileen McNamara, thank you for all of your writing during this last year. It's been a beacon. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
And Father Robert Bowers at St. Catherine's in Charlestown, Massachusetts, one of the priests who signed the petition calling for Cardinal Law to step down, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation at onpointradio.org. Click on forums. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Cassettes and CDs of On Point are available for $15. Go to onpointradio.org or call 1-800-909-9287.
This is WBUR. We're fun.